Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe bonus episode. Welcome to the 5-day training, The Intimacy Keys, where I'll be sharing with you the 5 keys to deepening connection, enhancing pleasure, and accessing desire. I'm your host, Morgan Susan Taylor. Thank you for joining me. We are on right now for day 2 of the Intimacy Keys 5-part training. And the topic for today's training is about the toxic feminine. And I'm going to get into in a minute what the toxic feminine is, what I mean by that, how it shows up in your life. And then I'm going to share with you a little bit about what's really at the root of the toxic feminine. And they're called the 3 fears, the 3 universal fears, or the 3 fears of the feminine. I'm going to be sharing with you what those are, what they look like, and how to actually resolve them so that you can have more connection, more intimacy, more sovereignty, and really just more love in your life. Hi, Chelsea. Thanks for joining me. Great. So I'm going to go ahead and pull up my slides here. The beautiful slides that I created for y'all, but that I'm not going to screen share because you won't actually be able to see them. So you just get my lovely face again today. So let's start by talking about what do I mean by the toxic feminine. So you probably everybody at some point can probably relate to one of these statements. So the toxic feminine, what this actually looks like, what I mean when I say the toxic feminine, this is behavior. For example, like when you say yes, but you mean no, and then you resent your partner for it. So I'm trying to think of a good example of that. I'll get to that in a minute. What you end up doing in this habit is you end up building a wall of resentment around your heart. You really build up a hardness around your heart. And you do that as a way to actually stay safe. It's one of the ways that we as women protect ourselves, our vulnerable femininity. Because we've been hurt or we've been abandoned or we felt rejected, we actually build up this hardness around our heart. And I call it the wall of resentment. And we do that as a way to stay, it's an artificial, what's called an artificial boundary. We do it as a way to keep ourselves safe. But it actually is really ineffective, and I'll talk about why that is in a minute. We also do it as a way to not feel. We don't want to feel the hurt or the disappointment. So it's easier just to close off and to harden. And if you're really honest with yourself, you build up this wall of resentment around your heart as a way to punish your partner. So if you're really to be honest with yourself, right, and what that looks like is kind of like, let's say your partner said something that hurt your feelings, but you don't really have, you're not sure like how to, either you go into a knee-jerk reaction, you just get angry and you put the wall up, or you don't really have the tools or the skill or the voice to be able to confront that in a way that's not going to cause more chaos. So you just actually start to avoid it and you brush it under the rug. And instead what that turns into is sort of this brewing and this stewing and sort of this anger that can come out as passive aggressiveness. Or the opposite of that is it comes out as just sort of exploding all over the place, like that knee-jerk reaction, explosion, right? And so both of those responses are not really a true boundary where we're really actually stopping to feel what's going on, what just happened, what's the need that wasn't met, what am I feeling, and actually communicating authentically from that place within ourselves. We go into this automatic knee-jerk reaction of either putting up the wall of resentment or blowing up, right? And what's almost worse is when we're holding on to the anger, we don't let it out, it hardens, we go cold, we get distant. You know, another symptom of the toxic feminine is this habit of giving in because you feel bad, right? So that would be like you feel maybe guilty or selfish for saying no, so you end up saying yes. Again, it's coming back to that pattern of really saying yes when maybe you mean no, or maybe you don't know what you feel. So a lot of times in the work that I do and really helping women to connect with their voice and to really develop this deeper connection with themselves and their own inner experience, which we talked about yesterday, is that's really what true intimacy and true love really is. We default into this pattern of sometimes not being able to really even discern what we're feeling. We've so lost ourselves in the relationship that we don't even know what a yes feels like. And maybe we're too afraid. Maybe we don't even know what a no feels like. So we go into the default, which is just sort of we go along with things. We sort of morph and blend ourselves to the relationship. And there's a reason why we do this. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Another pattern of the toxic feminine is if and when you are strong enough to say no, maybe you beat yourself up for it, or you blame yourself, making yourself wrong, like, I shouldn't have said no, or I should have just let them have what they want because it's really, I'm not being polite. Like, that's a really, really, really big pattern that's really ingrained in the psyche of women, is this idea that we have to be, and even in our culture, but particularly for women, it's this idea that we have to be polite. And if we have boundaries and we hold our boundaries and we say no, or we're direct, then we're considered rude, or we judge or label ourselves as rude. And unfortunately, what happens is when we're in this dynamic is that we end up tolerating a lot of bullshit. We end up tolerating a lot of behavior that we really shouldn't be tolerating from others. We end up putting up with a lot of crap. And as a result, we get angry at the other person for that. We start to blame them. When really at its core, it's really a fundamental issue of boundaries and voice and self-honoring. So I'll talk about all this in a second when I get into the three fears. But really at the core of the toxic feminine is really the essence of the, why don't I just get into it right now? We'll get into it. Okay, really the core of this behavior, the toxic feminine, what I just sort of described, are what I call the three fears of the feminine. So the three fears of the feminine are, number one, the fear of rejection. Number two, the fear of abandonment. And number three, the fear of surrender. Now, these three fears, they're also known as the three universal fears. So really, these three fears are pervasive in everyone's life to some degree. Most of us are going to identify with one of those fears a little bit more strongly than the other two, but almost all of us have threads of each of those three. And what happens is when we're not conscious of these fears, they actually are informing every decision that we're making. They're informing our thoughts, our feelings, and our behaviors. They're forming the very lens through which we see and experience the world. And they're forming the way that we show up in relationship. And when we're not conscious of how these fears are showing up and how we're responding to them and how they're actually, they are actually truly controlling our behavior. These fears are actually what are underneath all of our behaviors until we start to become conscious of them. And what that results in is really sabotaging love and sabotaging connection in relationship. And it puts us into this place of the toxic feminine where we're hiding behind that resentment wall. And real quick, like why this is even a problem is because it absolutely kills connection. So when these fears are operating in our lives to this degree, connection is totally lost. And along with that, there goes your desire for sexual intimacy as well, by the way, because when you've got a wall up around your heart is highly connected to your sexuality and your sexual desire. The heart and the vagina, or the heart and the yoni, these two parts of a woman's body are almost like one. We have like two hearts. We have a heart in our chest and a heart in our vagina, or in our womb. So when our hearts are shut down and we have a wall of hardness, emotional hardness built around it, we don't feel like having sex. And even though a lot of times we're attempting to kind of give our, you know, we're giving our partner the cold shoulder, we're playing the silent treatment, we're trying to punish our partner, we're really only hurting ourselves when we're doing that. And as a result, also, when we're sort of operating out of these fears, we're failing to build real relationship skills. And we start to default to the building up of that wall really is a default mechanism for keeping us safe. And then you end up feeling disconnected, isolated, lonely, and really fucking angry. And the problem is that you get stuck here. And the other problem with this, like from an actual physiological standpoint, your cortisol levels actually also increase. And cortisol is the stress hormone. And it's really at the root of many, many, many chronic illnesses, including PMS. And actually when women have really bad and intense menopausal symptoms, like really bad hot flashes and moodiness and depression, premenstrual syndrome actually is related to these chronically elevated levels of cortisol. So there's really a physical implication as well. And then over the long run, cortisol is linked to all kinds of chronic issues, all the way up to like osteoporosis and autoimmune and even cancer. So you can see here that there's really a benefit to really starting to work on an energetic, emotional, and spiritual level with what's actually happening. What's actually happening that's contributing to this buildup of this wall, and start to take that wall down one stone at a time. So the first one, the fear of rejection. So if you are operating out of the fear of rejection, a lot of times you'll find yourself comparing yourself to other people. Jealousy tends to be a big theme of this fear, even very subtly. Like, most of us don't like to admit that we're jealous, but a lot of times when this fear is operating, jealousy is sort of a subtle aspect of it, or sometimes a very overt aspect of it. If you settled for less in a relationship, or settled for less in your job or your career, if you have difficulty asking for or receiving the things that you want, because a lot of times inside of this fear, we don't know what we want. We've lost contact with our own needs and our own desires because we're always, well, because we're afraid of being rejected, right? Feeling bad for saying no, and again, that incapacity to really feel what you want for you. A lot of times we end up, when we're operating out of the fear of rejection, to sacrificing ourselves in order to not feel bad. And what this tends to look like is we tend to tell ourselves like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, I'll not do that for myself so that this person, you know, can have that thing. And we say that we're doing it because we're such a good person and we're really concerned for the welfare of someone else. But actually, most of the time, what we're really doing is that we're trying to avoid feeling guilty for saying no or for taking something for ourselves. So it's really sneaky. Also, like being overly independent and thinking that you don't need, like thinking you don't have needs or that you don't need anybody else, doing everything yourself and disliking asking for help. That's also a really common fear, or I mean a common expression of this fear of rejection, because when we're afraid of rejection unconsciously, what we tend to do is we avoid intimacy. We don't want to ask for help because we're afraid actually of being let down by that person or someone actually even being told no. So it's easier for us when we're operating out of this fear just to not ask for the help. At the core of the fear of rejection is, all of the fears have a spiritual wound associated with them. At the core of the fear of rejection is really, it's the wound of unworthiness. The wound of unworthiness, right? So it's really what's at the root of this fear. And if you dig down on it as well, whenever there's a sense of jealousy or we feel bad for saying no, really at the core of that is a deep unworthiness. The limiting belief systems that come up, a few, I'll just throw out a few that tend to come up around this fear of rejection are things like the belief like I'm unworthy, I'm an inconvenience. It's a really big one. My needs are less important than others, or I don't have any needs. All right, so if those are things that are sort of showing up in your experience, you're probably operating unconsciously from this fear of rejection. And really, the spiritual lesson associated with this fear is really about learning how to say no. Learning how to access your wants and your desires purely for you without regard for what anybody else wants or needs. Learning to use your voice to advocate for yourself in order to get your needs met. And the quality, there's a feminine quality associated with each of these fears as well. And the fear of rejection, really the opposite, the quality and the skill that we need to learn when we're working through this fear is really the skill of receiving. So receiving is actually a skill, and it's a quality of the feminine. And it's highly connected to this fear of rejection. So many times if you have a hard time receiving, at the core of that again is that wound of unworthiness. On some deeper level, you feel that you don't deserve, or you feel like you might be selfish if you were to receive. So really part of working through the fear of rejection is learning to increase your capacity to receive. And that can be all kinds of things, not just necessarily money or physical objects, but also learning how to receive attention, learning how to receive praise or compliments, learning how to even be seen in the world. So that's the fear of rejection. Now, this next fear is a really common, this one's super big, and I think almost all women can probably relate to this at some point in your life or another, and that would be the fear of abandonment. The fear of abandonment really is ultimately what it sounds like, the fear of being abandoned or being alone. A lot of times what this looks like in relationship is having really unclear boundaries and getting enmeshed in the relationship. So what that really ends up looking like when we're really enmeshed, sometimes the word used is codependence, but that can be sort of like it's sometimes too technical of a term. Ultimately, when you're enmeshed in a relationship or you're codependent, you're lost yourself. This is where you don't even know who you are anymore or what your own desires and passions are because you've totally sort of given yourself over to the relationship. And I'll talk about this in a minute, but I mean, ultimately what you're doing inside of the fear of abandonment is you're abandoning yourself. This also shows up like conforming to what others expect of you. And then part of the reason when you're operating out of this fear of abandonment, like partly why you lose yourself at its core is really because you're afraid that if you have boundaries and you hold your limits and you really adhere to your own self-identity, that you're going to lose the relationship. So a lot of times we will, we'll tolerate like toxic relationship patterns or we'll put up with a lot of bullshit because at the core we're afraid of being alone or afraid of being abandoned. So we try to either morph into something that our partner wants us to become or what we think they want us to be in order to keep the relationship. Or we end up, inside of that, we actually end up losing ourselves completely in the relationship. So at the core of the fear of abandonment, the spiritual wound at the core of this is called the wound of separation. So the wound of separation is really what's at the core of this fear. And the limiting belief systems, what you might hear yourself say or how it shows up like in your mind are things like I'm alone or I'm afraid of being alone or I don't want to lose the relationship. What can I do to save the relationship? I'll do anything to save the relationship, right? Sometimes there's sort of like even a desperation under this. I'll become or be anything they want me to be just to save the relationship. If I'm true to myself, I might upset someone else. Right? Like that's a really, really, really strong one, a really big one. The spiritual lesson of this fear is learning how to manage the anxiety of being alone. Because a lot of times inside of this fear, like there's a certain clinginess and a neediness that shows up in various ways. So really like learning to manage the anxiety of being alone. Expanding your capacity to feel that fear without trying to cling on to something in order to not feel it. So a lot of times we talked yesterday about like, neither clinging nor running away, sort of as an aspect of love and intimacy, like where we're just radically present with what is. It really shows up a lot inside of this fear of abandonment. A lot of times we'll cling on to the relationship or we'll cling on to a job or we'll cling on to a friendship or a situation because we actually don't want to feel some of the pain that we would have to feel that we're just avoiding. We're actually using the relationship to not feel that discomfort. The quality that this fear is related to, and ultimately the feminine quality that we need to learn, the skill that we need to learn to start to work with and overcome this fear is really the skill of love. And love is really a skill. And I talked about that in yesterday's training about love really being about bringing down these barriers within ourselves. Everything that contributes to that wall of resentment, actually taking that, softening into that, and actually feeling into our own deep pain. Many times what we find within ourselves before we're going to meet love and joy and intimacy, we're going to meet a lot of pain. And the reason for that is because we've built these walls around it in order to not feel. So rather than just like feeling what there is to feel and letting it shift and morph into something new, we've hardened around it with the wall of resentment. And so when we start to learn the skill of love, that skill of deep softening and deep release, we encounter a lot of pain. And the flip side of love is actually loss. So I won't go into deep detail on that, but you can probably get a little bit of a sense of that here and why that's the skill that's connected with the resolving of this fear is really coming into a deep understanding that loss is part of love. They're actually two sides of the same coin and that ultimately it's all one and that there's really no such thing as loss, though we experience it as such. And the way that we move through that is through developing this quality or this skill of love. The third and final fear is the fear of surrender, the fear of surrender. So what this looks like if you're operating through this fear, you are going to probably have a lot of feelings of self-doubt and like you don't really trust yourself. You also very likely have difficulty trusting others and you might even assume a lot of times that others are like trying to manipulate you. Like they're just trying to get something from you. You have a hard time really trusting the intentions and motivations of others. There's also a really strong need for certainty and control in your life if you're operating out of this fear. There's constant planning. And then also really this idea of actually like manifesting, like sort of this whole idea of like, I'm going to just picture exactly what I want and I'm going to demand from the universe to give it to me. That actually, to be totally honest, at its core is really a reflection of this fear of surrender. I know that's not a popular statement to make, but it's actually the truth. And there's other ways to work in co-creation and to work in manifestation in alignment with surrender. But if you're in that place of like trying to manifest this thing that you want, and maybe you're getting disappointed because it's not manifesting, really at the core of that is this fear of surrender. Connected to this is a deep fear of not being supported by or taken care of by life itself. And again, often mistrusting and misreading the intentions of other people. At the core of this fear, the spiritual wound at the core of this fear of surrender is the wound of betrayal and mistrust. So the wound of betrayal and mistrust. The limiting belief systems are things like I'm not safe, or the world isn't safe, or I have to constantly protect myself from evil. Other people aren't safe. I have to control the situation in order to win. All right, these are just a few of the belief systems connected when you're operating out of this fear. Now, the fundamental spiritual lesson of the fear of surrender is really about learning to trust yourself by listening to and honoring your own intuitions and deeper knowing. It's really at the core is the self-trust. It's really also learning to let go of the need to control, rationalize, plan, even this sort of constant manifesting this total outcome that you want has to happen this way. Letting go of that and actually learning to trust something much greater than your own small ego, your own little self, right? Or learning really to stop the controlling and the needing to control the outcome. This whole idea that if I don't do it or if I don't visualize it, it won't happen. Right? It's really not true, actually. That's a topic for another time. The feminine quality connected with the fear of surrender, this is really about learning the skill of surrender. So surrender is a quality of the feminine, and it's actually a skill that it can be taught and it can be learned. So the skill of surrender, and really like sort of right in parallel with this skill of surrender, is also the skill of trust. They're really almost one and the same. Like actually sometimes I'll refer to this fear as the fear of trust, but I think calling it the fear of surrender actually makes a little bit more sense. But it's ultimately about, at its core, it's a mistrust, and that's why we don't want to let go. We're not trusting ourselves, we're not trusting life, we're not trusting God, we're not trusting the universe, we're not trusting our partner. So the skill that we learn in the resolution of this fear so that's no longer operating in our lives in these negative ways is through the skill of surrender and developing the skill of trust. And actually, you know, on a side note, one of the best ways to learn the skill of surrender is to take up partner dancing in the follow role. So the partner dancing is a lead and follow, dance as the follower. It's a really incredible way to learn that skill of surrender that's super practical. And you could go do that like this weekend. But I've got another tip for you on how to work with these fears. But that's a really, really good one that I highly recommend, among others. But we only have limited time together today. So here's a critical point to keep in mind about these three fears. Really at the core of every single fear, all three of these fears, is ultimately your relationship to yourself and to your own power. When we're operating out of the fear of rejection at its fundamental core, it's ultimately because we're rejecting our own selves. You're rejecting your self-worth, you're rejecting your own needs, you're rejecting your own desires, because at your core you feel like you shouldn't have desires, you don't deserve to have desires, right? Because it's that unworthiness wound. So ultimately what's feeding that at its very core essence is self-rejection, an own rejection of ourself and our deeper self-worth, our deeper needs, our deeper desires. Abandonment And I mentioned this when I was kind of going, describing that fear of abandonment. First and foremost, if this is showing up in your life, or if betrayal is a theme in your life, or mistrusting others in the situation and feeling really wary, thinking people are manipulating you, you are ultimately, what I want you to start to think about, it's ultimately, where are you abandoning yourself? Where have you ignored your own boundaries and your own limits, perhaps in order just to keep a relationship? So each of these really starts internally with ourselves. So all abandonment is self-abandonment. Ultimately, at its core, and all rejection is self-rejection. In that final one, surrender, it's ultimately a mistrust and a doubting of yourself and your deeper knowing, your deeper intuition. Like when you know that you should or shouldn't do something, but you don't trust that guidance, that inner intuition, that inner guidance, and you go do it anyway, you're betraying yourself each time you do that. Or if you kind of see the red, here's a great one. We've all been here. I know it. Like, oh, this guy's great, but yeah, there's kind of a red flag, but like, I don't know, like he's a really great guy in all these other areas. So you end up like going forward and moving forward in the relationship, and it all blows up and you're like, I knew it. Like I knew there were red flags at the beginning. Like how many of us have said that, right? Oh my goodness. But that really, it's that fear of surrender, or really that the core of that, which is mistrust and doubting yourself. So you can see that these fears really originate internally inside our own consciousness, inside our own psyche, and really inside of the way that we're showing up in all of our relationships. Our intimate relationship just happens to be really the most, usually like the most direct reflection for us, and usually the deepest, but you can also see these fears show up in your relationship with your family or your siblings or your boss or your work situation, or patterns that start happening throughout your life or just throughout a season of your life. These are how the fears will reflect back to us. The way they reveal themselves to us is actually through relationships. And really through our relationship with other people, and also just with our environment. That's how we actually start to learn how to see them. One of the benefits of starting to work through these fears really is that you'll start to feel more secure, like in your life in general, but in your relationship specifically, because you're really becoming more sovereign within yourself. So a beautiful thing about this is actually, in a sense, we gain a lot more, we restore our relationship to our own power is really what we're doing, because we're no longer putting it out there like, oh, this stuff is just happening. These patterns keep happening and I don't know why. When we learn how to actually work with these fears and how to see through them, we can start to make different choices. We feel more empowered to create more depth and connection and more intimacy and love, because when we really take accountability and start to do this deeper, this is like the deeper work of intimacy, y'all, that I talk about sometimes in my work. This is the deeper work of love, sex, and intimacy. When we're starting to really be accountable and more sovereign, and we start to do this deeper work, we're actually learning how to take that wall of resentment down, and we're not making somebody else responsible for putting it there. That's really what we tend to do a lot of times. We blame the other person. We're resentful because he did this, or he said that, or you did that, and now I'm angry and I have every right to be angry. That is 100% a choice of yours. And if you're building up that wall out of self-righteousness and self-protection because you have a right to be angry, that's entirely your choice. But just keep in mind that what you're doing is you're creating less of what you want, which is love, intimacy, and connection. You're creating more of what you don't want. All right? So it really takes us putting on our big girl panties to actually do this work. It's not necessarily an easy path, but it is a fucking productive path, and it does work. You will learn how to find your voice by doing this work. All right, you'll have the skills to bring that wall down if you so choose. If you can put on your big girl panties and do it, it's almost like magic. Like you have the power to create love in any moment, regardless of what anybody else is doing or saying. It's really empowering. And then, you know, an awesome last result of doing this deeper work is an increased desire for sex, for intimacy, for closeness. Our sexuality, our vaginas, can actually wake back up when our hearts are open, when we're not hardened, when we're soft, and when we're vulnerable. You know, and when we're connected with what's actually authentic in that moment, even if that's a deep grief, right, or a deep sorrow, or even if that is in that moment, maybe it is anger, but as long as we're not shutting it down, we talked yesterday about like siphoning off Eros and that erotic spark of energy, that life force energy that wants to move through us. We have that capacity, and working with and through the fears is actually one of the ways to start to do that. Now, I want to just frame this here so that you can be successful in working with this. We have this idea of like, I just need to get rid of all of my fear. And if only the fear wasn't there, then I could do X, Y, Z. If only I wasn't so afraid of abandonment or afraid of rejection, or if I just didn't feel afraid. And that's really a myth. Like, so we don't get rid of fear. The fear is our teacher. And it's not something that's just going to disappear, right? We're not going to just eradicate the fear and, whatever. Let's use this healing modality to get rid of the fear. I actually really don't believe in that. I think there was probably a point where I did. But honestly, as I've grown and deepened in my spiritual work, I think that that's really part of the illusion, and really so part of this idea that we can sort of control things that really aren't necessarily ours to control. And maybe temporarily we can eradicate fear and feel confident, but are we just masking something, right? It's sort of part of that like fear of surrender, right? Versus we can actually work with the fear, all right? And how we do that is we learn to see through it. And we do that by becoming conscious of the fear and how it's showing up in our lives and beginning to actually make new decisions and new choices and create new behaviors in light of the fear and in spite of the fear, right? So it's not necessarily realistic to think that I need all this fear to go away before I'm going to be able to, you know, quit my 9-to-5 job and start a business. Like, I first need to not feel afraid. Well, good luck. You're probably going to be waiting forever. So it's more effective if you really, really, really want to move forward and transform your life and transform your relationship and get out of these habits of the toxic feminine where you're left feeling disconnected, isolated, alone, lonely, afraid, angry, resentful, guilty, whatever. Then this deeper work really needs to be done, and it's done through really learning to see how these fears are showing up in your life and then consciously making a choice to do something different and beginning to notice when do you fall back into operating out of the fear. So it's really about that cultivation of consciousness. When we do that, we disable the power of the fear and we reclaim an aspect of our own sovereignty and our own power.
Thank you for joining me today for the Sex Talk Cafe. Please be sure to show your support by subscribing to this podcast series and sharing it with your community. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.